This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. I have with me
Emma Vandenberg.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Emma, you came here from Holland as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, almost 19.
Almost 18 almost. And three quarters.
Yeah, well, more than three quarters, yeah.
Okay, and when was that?
I came in February 1960.
Okay.
And I turned 19 in March 1960, so very close to my 19th birthday. Yeah.
So, and what led you to
I did not come here just by myself. I came to visit my sister, who had been here already 8 years, and my parents had decided it's time she came home. So the excuse was I gone to New Zealand, have a working holiday, and bring my sister back home. That didn't work. Because her fiancé had already been here 2 years. They got married.
Okay. Now let's say you came from Holland. Your sister and her fiancé were both Dutch.
Yeah, they married, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And they came here because of the war, actually. We are here because of the Second World War.
Yeah.
It destroyed Rotterdam, where we lived.
Yeah.
And there was no work for young men.
Yeah.
Not much. And we all had to have people living in with houses because there was no room for anywhere to live. If you got engaged to be married, you couldn't live anywhere.
Yeah.
So they started a campaign that young men, you should immigrate.
And this was
so in they 1950s. In
they
the
came 1950s. Out in the early 1950s, and you came out.
My brother-in-law came in 1950.
Yes.
My sister left in 1952. She came here.
Yeah.
And I came in 1960.
Okay.
To tell her, hey.
Yes.
Come home.
And you came out on what scheme?
No, I just immigrated.
No scheme?
No.
I thought you said you were a £10... not a £10 pom.
I'm a £10 Dutchie.
Dutch, but, yes.
I immigrated, and people that immigrated were the people that didn't have money.
Ah,
so you
okay.
immigrated. I couldn't just come out. That meant you had to live where they told you.
Yes.
And you had to work where the government told you.
For
2 years.
2 years, okay.
And I am a registered alien. I've got an alien registration book.
Okay.
But because I had a sister here, I could come.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have a job for me and housing.
Okay.
So I could live with her, and they had organized that I would get a job. And I got a job. I started work 2 days after I arrived. I had 1 day free, and then the next day I went to work.
So what was this system with the £10?
The £10, actually, if you split it in half, the first £5 was for the first week of you to live.
Yes.
The second week you were working, but you didn't get paid until the end of the second week.
Okay.
So you had 2 weeks sufficient money to pay board and lodging.
Okay.
And to get yourself settled. And they expected you by the end of the second week to get wages in. Perfect.
Yeah, because you had to have a job arranged when you came.
Yes, you could not come if you didn't have a job.
Okay, yeah.
So in the meantime, of course, I met Frank. That is the husband.
In the meantime, you mean you thought, heck, I need a husband. And within 2 weeks, you got all that fixed.
Just before I left Holland, I met Frank.
Okay.
And I told him, well, don't get any ideas. I'm going to immigrate to New Zealand. And then he said, after a few weeks of dating, hands-free, don't touch, I'm leaving. He said, maybe I should come to New Zealand as well. And I went, good for you. I didn't expect him to come, but he did.
Did he on the same scheme?
Similar scheme, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So then we had, again, find him a job. And
so you arranged for him to come.
Yeah, and we arranged for him a job. And we arranged housing for him in some boarding house. He lived in a boarding house in Fielding.
Okay.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, actually.
So where were you settled?
I stayed with my sister in Fielding.
So she was in Fielding. Yeah.
I arrived from Rotterdam, Holland.
Yeah.
Busiest city in the world, more or less.
Yeah.
To Fielding, New Zealand, where the main road wasn't paved yet. It was a dirt road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what were your first impressions? Did you know much what you were coming to?
Or? No. I still expected the Maoris to go yahooing on horses and in grass skirts. Honest to God, I did. I had no idea where I was going to.
Yeah.
Okay. Except now my sister.
That so was what was your enough. First impression then?
Shocking. I couldn't believe that all the houses stood free. You could walk right round a complete house. Well, I couldn't, but the people did.
Yeah. People did it seemed like luxury blocks. To you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And old ladies in cars could not believe all these, what are they, 410?
So you arrived in heaven. This was marvellous, wasn't
it? It was the strangest thing ever.
And this was 1960.
1960, you had no television, you had no coffee.
Yeah.
All the things we were used to already.
Yeah.
And there was none of that. But you had these houses, that you had gardens right round. You had so few people living in one street.
Yeah.
No blocks of houses. It was crazy.
And wooden houses?
Was that a
surprise for you as well?
That was a bit strange because I'm only used to bricks and tiled roofs. Then rows of houses. And you drove on the wrong side of the road. My brother-in-law was a taxi driver and he picked me up from Wellington. Where I've no idea it was supposed to be an airport. We were let off. And your suitcase was standing on the middle of somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't even know where. There was no checking, no nothing.
Yeah.
And then he had a Morris Oxford or something.
Yeah.
And your roads are so tiny. Oh, good God, your roads were so small. And he kept missing all the cars because he was driving on the wrong side of the road. And you so close because you only had two lanes.
Yeah.
Only just two lanes. Mm. Oh.
So in Holland there have been all multi-lane roads?
Oh, always have had multi. Yeah, but look at all the people live in that small area.
Yeah.
So, except the streets...
Yeah.
They were just one way and all cobblestones.
Yeah.
And when we came here, then your streets were so
incredibly
wide.
Incredibly wide, yes.
The streets were so wide. Couldn't believe it.
Yes. Yeah.
And my father, way back then, worked it out one day. In those days, people had horse and carts.
Yes.
And they had to be able to turn around. That's why a church street and all those streets were so wide.
Yeah.
That's what he worked out.
And cattle droving and things.
The horse and cart had to be able to turn around on the street. Yeah. That's why the streets.
But that didn't apply in the old English place, and probably in Holland as well. Your streets were.
The streets are so tiny.
Yeah.
They're all one way because there's no room for two cars.
Okay. So what about the languages? Were you fluent in English when you came?
No.
Do you speak any English when you came?
A little bit. I could say, how do you do? and people laughed. Mm. Yes. No, my English was school English.
But you just picked it up through normal conversation?
Just talking to people.
Yeah.
I had a lovely compliment, actually, one day, because I said I just picked it up from the street. I had to learn you go. And somebody said, well, you lived in a good area, so your English is not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the early days, then, did you get much resistance from it if you were speaking Dutch to your sister?
Well, my sister wouldn't speak Dutch to me.
Okay.
She was horrible. She said, you have to learn it, and I was in tears.
Okay.
But I had a little book, translating book.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, I talked to people. I was 19 years old, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, you learn it.
But you had no coffee bars, and eventually there was one coffee bar in Fielding, and I think it was called the Calypso. That was great, but you could only buy coffee or Milo. There was no coffee, there was Milo. And what do you eat, drink
here?
There was
a milk bar.
Tea? Milk bars,
there were milk bars.
Yeah, but this was supposed to be a coffee bar.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe by that time, after 6 months or a year...
It might have been in England. I remember when I was young, they had something called camp coffee, which is a liquid that you dilute.
Oh, yeah, bushels stuff, yeah. In a bottle. Eek! Oh, but anyway, they eventually got a coffee bar thing, so that's where you could meet a few people. And because I was so foreign, I was slim, tall and slim, I was quite a good-looking young lady at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
I was the only one ever to have high-heeled shoes, for goodness sakes.
Okay. Yeah.
They didn't have them here yet. All the girls then, in 1960, were wearing floral dresses.
Yes.
Well below the knee.
Yeah.
And we went to the ballroom Astoria to go dancing.
Yeah.
With all the boys on one side, all the girls on the other side. I could not believe what I saw.
So what would it have been like in Holland?
Part sounds daft. Part of our education is you have to learn to dance.
Yeah.
So you go to a dance school, and the boys have to ask you, would you like to dance? And it was proper ballroom dancing.
Okay.
And here, all the boys were on one side and the girls on the other. It was just a mad rush. Everybody just rushing to dance.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whatever time, they brought out tables with cups of tea.
Yeah.
And biscuits. And they had to go home.
Yeah.
Totally, completely, utterly different to what we were used to.
Yes.
And I don't know if we sat around tables. I can't. I think we just had tables that we sat around. So you could sit with a few friends and then they had to say, would you like to dance? But here, all the people are a huge big hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge.
So what did you find that the sort of the boy-girl relations were different from in Holland?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was different because the boys would shake their head saying, come on, like that. Well, just shake their head saying, like, come on. And the girls would go because they thought the boy was nice. Well, that would not happen in Holland. You'd go up and ask.
Yeah.
And I've not been to school here.
Yeah.
But if you go anywhere to a restaurant or to a school thing, I don't know, you just seem to go together and you get five or six boys and three, four or five girls and there's groups of friends.
Yeah.
And then every now and again somebody else might come in and it was, hey, we're going to the movies or we're going wherever. And then whoever wanted to go would go. So it wasn't so much, I wonder where I can find a boy. I don't know. I don't know how it went. We were just there.
Yeah, it just sort of, it just happened by chance.
Yeah, because here also, but you, I suppose we did as well, but I've never been to a school where there was girls only or boys only.
Okay.
They did segregate in Holland the Catholics from the Protestants to the, well, I wasn't baptized, so I was whatever school. So the Catholic boys, you didn't see the Catholic boys. They wouldn't come to our dances. They had their own.
Yeah, okay.
So there was that kind of segregation, but not so much boys and girls, because boys and girls all went to the same school.
Yeah, yeah.
Right up to university.
And that's not what you saw here?
No, a lot of segregation.
Yeah, yeah.
And the boys were allowed this, and the girls weren't allowed this.
Okay. So did you find that the boys weren't very good at talking to girls then, or...?
No, well, they just thought it was hilarious. But, I mean, 6 months later, Frank came, I only had 6 months of wondering what was going on.
And would they have seen you as either exotic or something different?
Exotic.
From
they saw me as something, I think, rather strange and Fielding, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
You can't get much smaller than Fielding. Yeah, you can go to Bulls.
Yeah.
And there I was, foreign, didn't speak the language very well. High heel shoes, slim dresses.
Yeah.
Not as... flower in sight.
Terrified them, probably.
Yeah, terrified them, yeah. And then she had a funny accent.
Yeah.
So, but she couldn't speak the language.
Okay. But you came out and within a week or so you were working.
Oh, yeah, immediately.
So what job were you doing?
I'm trying to think now. I had to do some flower arranging, but artificial flowers, well, that was terrible because I was all by myself. And so very soon I got a job in the hotel... Empire, I don't know what the name was, in Fielding Hotel. And I became like a housemate, Another funny thing, you had to go back, which meant making beds and whatever, vacuum cleaning. And my language was still very bad. Actually quite funny. I had to go back at 6 o'clock at night, and we, you will never believe this, we had to go and fill hot water bottles, open the bed, shove in a hot water bottle for when the people came home and go to bed or whatever.
So what have you been doing in Holland?
I was in an office, just an office girl, but not for all that long. You know, I mean, it was, like I said, 18, I might have been going on for 19. So how long would I have been working? But, 2 years.
Yeah, but, you, but you'd had some sort of training for things?
Just office, well, just middle, I suppose you call it middle school, girls' high school type thing. And there, you got language, but mainly what they taught you was the money. But, I mean, 10 franc plus 10 franc is still 20 franc, right? So you didn't learn anything. That's mathematics or sums. And, yeah, and then I worked in a shop in Holland where they sold cigarettes and cigarette lighters. And then I worked in an office. The last year I worked in an office, just as an office girl, doing whatever you do, you know. And then when I
So to come out here, there was no vetting. Is this a required skill that you have?
Not much, because I think they wanted girls to. They wanted girls to come because I don't know if they had enough girls here. And then, of course, I brought my own boyfriend later. They weren't happy about that.
So if they're bringing a lot of girls from overseas, did the Kiwi girls feel under threat with it?
There were so many boys coming in anyway. So many boys, and half the boys in Fielding, they all lived out in the country. A lot of farmer boys, you know.
So you'd no idea of, you could be a farmer's wife?
I could have been. I should have been.
You would have liked to, do you think?
I had no idea. No, milk comes in bottles, and and meat comes on trays. I couldn't know.
Having been used to a big city, was it a big adjustment getting used to Fielding?
Oh, very big. Everything was a huge
difficult
adjustment.
Or exciting, different?
A bit frightening. Actually, a little bit frightening because I couldn't speak to people. I couldn't. If I had got lost on my sister's bike, I could not have asked directions. You know, I might have said, me go, and got an address, and they would have laughed like hell and walked off. People were not that friendly. New Zealanders are still, till this day, I sometimes walk along the street and I go hello to someone, and they go oh, hello. But basically people don't talk to one another. Everybody ignores everybody. And in Holland, you see the men walking around, and they used to tip their
hats.
They used to tip their heads. But you don't see that anymore.
Not so much.
Very quickly, I didn't see it here at all. Men would not shake hands with women. So the difference when you first arrive is actually frightening. Because you feel a little bit like a fool. I go and walk up to you to introduce myself, because whatever. Hello, and I would say, how do you do? My name is Emma. And immediately wanted to shake hands, and they'd look at your hand as if it is a dead fish. And you soon learn not to do it. You know, but that's a pity. And that is a little bit frightening, because how do you behave?
At home, and I suppose at that age as well, you're just at the stage of you are becoming an independent adult in society, so what's your position? You don't know yet.
And, of course, you can only... I know you can compare, because if I would say to my friends in my half-Dutch, half-English, well, at home, we always shake hands. They say, well, if you don't like it, go back where you come from. And I go, no, that's not what I mean. I'm trying to explain... You know
why it's different.
Why it is different, or my friends that I've had, because I was only 19 then, 18, 19, make it 19. My friends that were 18 and 19 that I had been like friends with for 5-10 years would always ring the bell, would always shake hands with my parents to say,
Yes.
Good afternoon, I'm here, how are you? Not just walk in the door and slouch on the couch or go to the bedroom.
Yeah.
That was a complete no-no. There's far more a differentiation between young and old.
Yeah. Yeah.
More respect.
Yes.
And I found here there was no respect. And it was very difficult because a grown man that I might have to go and work for say, oh, call me Tom. And I go, I can only call you Mr. Smith. I can't call you Tom, you know, or whatever his name was. Yeah.
It's interesting you say that because I came here from Britain in 1978. Yeah. And I was used to, I was older than you. I was, 27?
Yeah.
And I was used to the idea as an adult male in society, you have this responsibility to younger people and so on.
Yeah.
And here, forget all that. That doesn't matter. You're just an individual and so what?
And I find it strange until this day. I'm 84, where when you've got a young friend, be that a friend of your children or your grandchildren, and they come in and they say, hello, Emma. And they've been taught, call her Emma, you know. And I think, I'm now used to it. But I still sometimes think, you couldn't do that.
No.
It's getting a bit like that overseas.
You've been back to Holland?
Yes.
It's changed a lot there too?
It's changing there as well, but not at the rate that it has here. And I still, when I meet someone even there, and I was there last year, I say, hello, Mr. Brown, you know.
Mm.
And then if Mr. Brown says, look, do call me Tom. Yeah. Are you sure? Yes, go on, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not that often.
Yeah.
It's not that often that happens. And if you don't know the people, you shouldn't be calling them by their first name.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs., you know.
Yeah.
And now, of course, you can't even be a Mrs. anymore. You've got to be a Ms.
Now, saying that, going back to Holland, did you've kept your Dutch?
Oh, yeah, fluent.
Yeah?
No problem.
Yeah, is that, have you used it right through? Is that why?
Or no, never. You never, ever speak Dutch in New Zealand.
Yeah?
Unless somebody all of a sudden makes a joke and says, do you still...
So you've been here for, what, 65 years?
Yeah.
Now, the language will have changed in 65 years.
The thing is, I have not learned the new words.
Yeah.
So even an old-fashioned saying, like here you used to say, g'day mate, let's say.
Yeah.
We don't say that anymore. You say something else. I would still say, g'day mate, in Dutch.
And they'd look and think, ah. Oh,
because I haven't heard the new.
Yes, so they pick up that you're speaking.
And they say, so where have you been? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
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 No, but they were surprised, and I was surprised, that some of them said, you don't even have an English accent. I said, but I must, you know. There are little mistakes. In Holland, you say, beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Here you say, pardon. Oh, in Holland, you say, pardon.
Yeah.
Here you say, beg your pardon.
Yeah.
But half the time you say pardon, right?
Yeah.
You shorten it.
Yeah.
Now, pardon is almost the same as pardon.
Yeah.
Except pardon is a horse. And they said, oh, for goodness sake, can you stop saying horse? Oh, pardon. Yes. No, sorry. Pardon. It's a French word.
Yes.
The Dutch language is full of French words.
Yes.
But so there are some of the sayings that you automatically do in English.
Yeah.
And of course then, some of the words are just funny in English, you know.
So they could tell you were using the old Dutch, but your pronunciation generally was
perfectly all right.
And that's interesting, because I found here people say, oh, you haven't lost your accent. But if I go back where I came from, they say, you're not from here, are you?
But we don't hear the difference.
We
don't hear the difference. But they were surprised, basically, then, that how well I still spoke the Dutch.
Yes.
And of course I had to keep, we went together, my son and myself, and I had to keep translating for him. And a couple of times I was translating very carefully. I kept speaking English to him, and then he goes, yeah, Mom. And I knew I was doing it wrong again. And then he was telling me something, and I had to translate it to an uncle. Carefully spoke to the uncle in English, and then the Dutch uncle would say,
yeah. Now, with two languages, you find now that you just think automatically in each. If you speak
only
in a language, you think
English.
In it?
Only English.
You think in English?
Oh, automatically.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. In Holland, when you were speaking Dutch, you were just thinking in Dutch, yeah. You think?
No, English mainly because I had my son with me.
Oh, okay.
So I had to translate.
So you're speaking in English a lot of the time. But when you were speaking Dutch
To the family.
The family and so on.
Or automatically. But you know what? Yeah. There was a little 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Who wanted to be our guide through a museum.
Yeah.
9 years old.
Yeah, speaking good English.
And he did it all in English.
From the TV, probably.
And I learned
the pop
it at
music
school.
And everything, yeah.
We got it at school, but like I said, we got chair, cup, table, you know, all these lines of words. Well, that too has changed, obviously.
I think they're immersed in it now. That just from the TV and the pop music and everything, they pick up the language.
In Holland, a lot of television is a lot of Dutch television, good. Mm. But if you see a movie, it's written underneath in Dutch.
Yes, yeah.
So the sound of English is born into us.
Yes, yeah.
And the music, I mean, ABBA is just as popular in Holland as it is in New Zealand, for instance.
Yes, yeah.
And all the kids are singing it. They might not know the words, but they know the sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
They might not know what every word means, but they automatically all sing it all along.
This is part one of three. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.